Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Southern California Connection Prayer Line, sponsored by the Central Filipino Seventh-day Adventist Church Women's Ministry Department. Gwen Shorter is the director. Joanne Williams is the prayer leader. Gloria Duckett is a moderator, and my name is Marcia Harold. I will be your moderator for this evening. Our speaker tonight will be Will Folks, Brother Folks, and I'm sure a lot of us on the line are familiar with him and his story, which I love to say. The first time he heard about Seventh-day Adventists, I believe he was 20 years old, and from the young lady that he heard that from, ended up being his wife, and they have one child, and they believe that with daily study of your Bible and the spirit of prophecy can help you keep your connection with the Lord and be saved when Jesus is seen coming in the clouds of glory. He is a Sabbath school instructor and a lay preacher. Joyce, if you could have our opening prayer for this evening, remember our friends list, revival and reformation, and our prodigal list, our speaker for this evening, and keep Gloria in a special prayer this evening. I was thinking, well, Gloria and who? Well, Gloria, just Gloria, because Gwen, we've all heard her on the call, and her voice is back, and Brother Baptiste got on, and he said, you know, he just was at the doctor's for a checkup, but he was saying maybe that's why all the prayers went up and why his checkup came out fine, because everybody was praying for him, so it wouldn't be nothing there. So, Joyce, if you could remember Gloria, as special with our usual prayers that we have, and for the speaker, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, I was muted. I'm sorry. Kind, loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this beautiful Sabbath evening that you have given to us, for this opportunity to come before you, your presence with all the brothers and sisters on this prayer line. I pray that you'll be with each one. Give us all a special Sabbath day blessing. And we just think of those that are on our prodigal list and our friends list, and there are many that are sick. I pray that you will work in their lives and restore them to health and strength. Be with those that have wandered away from you, Lord. We know how much you love them and want them back just as much as we do. And I pray that you'll work on their hearts and let them see your great love for them. Be with Gloria in a special way, Lord. Pray that you'll come very close to her and her husband, and whatever the health issues are, I pray that if it is your will, you'll restore her back to health and strength. And we pray for our speaker tonight, that you'll speak through him and give us receptive hearts so that we'll receive the message that he has for us, which comes from you. And be with us and give us that spiritual awakening that we need. Work in our lives and help us to be ready for your soon coming. And we're thankful that Valerie is doing much better. I pray that you'll be with her too and take away the pain that she has and help her to realize that you are working on that blood clot that she has and that it will soon be gone. We thank you for hearing and answering our prayer. We're thankful that Gwen is back with us and her voice is strong. And the others that are suffering, we know that you will work in their lives too and restore them to health and strength. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Elder Folks, the time is yours.
My sister, and thank you for that prayer. Can everyone hear me all right? Can you hear me? Okay. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I was saying, yes, we could hear you, and I was muted.
Sorry about that. Good afternoon and very happy Sabbath, or happy upcoming Sabbath, wherever you are in the country. Today, I just pray that you are blessed by our study as we continue to study the mind of Christ. And before, I encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Philippians chapter 2 as we begin our study today. But while you're turning to the book of Philippians chapter 2, just a very quick announcement, and that announcement is that if you are in the Southern California area, actually, you know, this prayer line is sponsored by the Central Filipino Seventh-day Adventist Church in Pasadena. And they're actually going to be having a guest speaker, and he's actually speaking right now and all Saturday, and perhaps, I think Sunday as well, but Dwayne Lemon will actually be in the Central Filipino Seventh-day Adventist Church. And so if you're in the area, I encourage you to attend. It's an all-day event this Sabbath, and he will be speaking. Dwayne Lemon was a guest speaker on this prayer line, and in addition to that, he has his own ministry, and he also has spoken at various events like Army Bible Camp and other well-known events. And so I encourage you, if you cannot make it, I'm actually going to be trying to record it this Saturday, and I'm going to be putting it up on the prayer line page on our CFC website as soon as it's done. Lord willing, the recording goes well. And so if you'd like to watch that later, you can watch that even if you're not in the Southern California area. And so I'd now like to get into our study today. And would someone like to read our theme verse, which is found in the book of Philippians, chapter 2. And I'd like someone to read verses 5 to 8.
I'll read it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Thank you. So right there it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 8, it also tells us that being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. And so every 2 weeks, we've been asking the important question, what is the mind of Christ like? What is the glory, the splendor, the beauty of the mind of Christ? Now, we've studied characteristics in the past, but today, I know our will is to go deeper, to know what is the true character of God, and how may we obtain the mind of Christ? What is the mind of Christ like? I encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. Chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, as we discover the characteristics of the mind of Christ. Exodus chapter 33, and I'd like someone to read verses 17 to 18.
Exodus 33, 17 and 18 reads, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory.
Right here, Moses is talking to God, and God is talking to Moses. And Moses, even though he had a really deep relationship with the Lord, he says, Lord, please show me your glory. He says, Lord, I want to know what the mind of Christ is like. Show me your glory. And in the next verse, in verse 19, God responds. And in verse 19, it says, then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And so Moses asks, Lord, please show me your glory. Show me what is the mind of Christ like. And here God says, okay, in verse 19, he says, I will show you my glory. Now, when men want to display their glory on this planet, when men and women want to show how glorious they are, what do they do? You know, dictators and rulers of the past, They often will parade their power before the people. They will parade their armies. We've seen dictators like Joseph Stalin and others, the USSR, Iran and others. They parade. You've seen those military parades where they try to show off all their glory and splendor by all the power that they have. Some other men, they try to show off their glory by showing off their wealth, their houses, their cars, the company, the cities that they have built. And like Nebuchadnezzar, they say, "Is this not the great Babylon that I have built?" That is another way how people try to show off their glory by their possessions. And in fact, mankind today, they also try to show their glory, sometimes by displaying their physical beauty to others. Perhaps you've seen the movie stars on the red carpet. And even afterwards, when they buy these very expensive outfits and try to attract attention and glory to themselves, afterwards, magazines publish a list of best dress for the Oscars. And by the way, I hope you don't watch those things, friends. But my point is that when mankind wants to display his glory, he displays his power, his wealth, his empire for beauty. Often it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, God has power. Amen. He's more powerful than any human military. And God has knowledge. And in fact, the cattle on a thousand hills are the Lord's. He has possessions. And God, he creates beautiful things as well. So what is the Lord's glory? What is this thing that God is going to show Moses? You know, the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 24 to 25, that all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. And that the grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the man who does the will of God shall abide forever, for the word of the Lord endures forever. And so the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us that all the glory of man is nothing compared to God. It's just like the flowers that fade away. And so what is the mind of Christ like? Now here God says, can you imagine if you were Moses and you say, "Lord, please show me your glory." And God says, "Okay, I will make all my glory pass before you." How would God display his glory? Would he display it in power with earthquakes and lightning and thunder? Would he show great and beautiful things? Would he show Moses the mind of Christ, all his knowledge and power? The Bible tells us what is the glory of God. And I encourage someone to read the next chapter, Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 to 8, as we discover what is the mind of Christ and what is the glory of God. Would someone like to read Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 to 8?
I'll read that. "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin.' And that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped."
Thank you. So right here, the Lord shows his glory, and it's not in the power of earthquakes or natural things, even though God could have displayed all those things. But here's the point, friends. The most glorious thing about God is his character. In fact, the Bible tells us that he is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, and keeping mercy for thousands. And then it says something interesting. It says, "by no means clearing the guilty." And when it says, "by no means clearing the guilty," what it means is that God is just. You see, some people struggle over this when it says by no means clearing the guilty. But friends, you know, if there was a judge and they brought in someone who had committed a crime and the judge knew that person was guilty, it would not be fair, it would not be loving to let that person go free without being without facing the penalty, right? You can't just let murderers and things like that go free. You have to be fair. You have to follow the law. And so when it says God is by no means clearing the guilty, it means that God is a just judge. But if you notice something, friends, that God is not only just. You see in that verse right there, does it start out with justice or does it start out with some other characteristics? If you notice that, first it says merciful and gracious. And so it mentions justice last, but mercy first. And so certainly we can declare, as the Bible says in the book of Lamentations chapter 3, that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not, and that they are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. You know, friends, because we have sinned, and because a just judge cannot overlook a crime and pardon the criminal, his justice demands the penalty of sin, and as we know, the wages of sin is death. And that's why the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 26, that Jesus had to die that God might be just and a justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. God could in no way clear the guilty, but by the atoning sacrifice of his Son, we may receive mercy. Listen to the characteristics of the mind of Christ in Exodus chapter 34. It says, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness. You know, that sounds an awful lot like the book of Galatians chapter 5, which tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The book of Galatians tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering and goodness, but also the Lord himself is long-suffering and good. And so when you compare the fruits of the Spirit to the characteristics of Christ in Exodus chapter 34, what that tells us is that God desires us to have the same characteristics as what God himself has in Exodus 34. And so, you know, the Bible also tells us that, as we read, that God is merciful. He is just. And as we read in Philippians chapter 2, that God is also humble. So God is just, merciful, and humble. But the book of Micah chapter 6, verse 8 tells us, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. God requires us to have his character. God not only desires, but he also requires us to be transformed. He requires us to have the mind of Christ. He requires us to have his character. But we have a problem. Keep a finger in the book of Exodus chapter 34, and please turn with me in your Bible to the book of Romans chapter 3. Keep a finger in Exodus chapter 34 as we discover our very simple problem. And I'd like someone to read Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans 3, 23.
Romans 3, 23 reads, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Here's our problem, friends. We already know that all have sinned. But do you notice it says that all have fallen short of the glory of God? What does it mean to fall short of the glory of God? Well, if you turn back, if you have your fingers still in Exodus 34, it means we have fallen short of the glory of God, meaning his character. Remember, God was showing his character to Moses and said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. And so our characters have fallen short to the character of God. And the question we really want to know is, how may we be restored? Because we know we've all fallen short. And we know that God requires us to have the mind of Christ. God requires us to have his character, but the question is how. How may we be restored? The book Steps to Christ, page 50, tells us that from the simple Bible account of how Jesus healed the sick, we may learn something about how to believe in him for the forgiveness of sins. And then she says, let us turn to the story of the paralytic at Bethesda. So I encourage you to turn from your Bibles to that account. And I'd like someone to read the book of John, chapter 5. As we go there, as we learn how may we be restored into the lovely image of Jesus Christ. John chapter 5 tells us how we may be restored. Ellen White specifically points to this account in the book Steps to Christ. And I'd like someone to read the book of John chapter 5, verses 1 to 6.
John chapter 5, verses 1 to 6 reads, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him, he lie, and knew that he had been now a long and just as I turn, a long time in that case, he said unto him, would thou be made whole?
Here, Jesus meets a man that has been broken. And the book of Desire of Ages, page 202, tells us that the Savior saw one case of supreme wretchedness. It was that of a man who had been a helpless cripple for 38 years. She says something interesting. She said his disease was in a great degree the result of his own sin and was looked upon as a judgment from God. She says, alone and friendless, feeling that he was shut out from God's mercy, the sufferer had passed long years of misery. Here is a man who was made in the image of God, but something happened. Here he lies. He cannot even stand by himself. He is broken. And friends, do you sometimes feel that you are broken? You know, you may be in good physical health today, but like this man, when Jesus stands before you, you feel so inadequate. Sometimes perhaps you feel like this man. Perhaps you feel like your sins have caused your own suffering. Perhaps you have a broken family because of your sins, of lust or bitterness. Perhaps we feel broken in our relationships, broken in our relationship with God. Perhaps there is something that just feels like it is separating us from Jesus. But the good news today is that no matter how broken you are, Jesus can heal you. And Jesus asks a very interesting question. A very simple question to this man, and he asked the question, do you want to be made whole? Now let me ask you a question. If you go into a hospital and you see a man who is crippled for 38 years, and you ask him the question, wilt thou be made whole? Or do you want to be made whole? What do you think he's going to answer? Doesn't that seem like a very simple question? Why would Jesus ask something so very simple? You know, this man, he had struggled. He wanted to be made whole, but he had tried and failed. But you know what, friends? One of the reasons that Jesus asks us, do we want to be made whole, is because sometimes, some people do not want to be made whole. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you know, friends, if you pass by someone who is homeless on the street, you know, some people do not want to take jobs. They would rather beg than work, because it's easier to beg than to work for some people. So some people, they do not want to be made whole. They do not want a different lifestyle. They are happy in a lifestyle that they are already in. And today Jesus asks us, do you want to be made whole? We might say, well, certainly we might fall into the category of the man who has tried to overcome sin and failed and become discouraged. But certainly not the second thing. Certainly we want to be made whole. But you know, friends, if we want to be made whole, wholly like Jesus, there are conditions that come. And I believe that really many people do not want to have the mind of Christ. They do not obtain the mind of Christ because in reality, in their heart of hearts, they do not want to be made whole. And this is what I mean, friends. You see, if Jesus makes you whole, that means that you can never take a work phone call on the Sabbath day. It means that you need to put the Sabbath over a possible promotion. You see, if Jesus makes you whole, then you must follow God's health message. For we are not our own. We are bought at a price. And so if Jesus makes you whole, that means you must abstain from unclean foods and addicting drinks, including coffee and caffeinated drinks and those energy drinks, which can contain harmful stimulants. You see, if Jesus makes you whole, that means that you will need to go on outreach and fulfill God's commandment of the Gospel Commission in Matthew, when Jesus says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. You see, friends, if Jesus makes you whole, perhaps you can no longer wear the outfits that you were wearing. For the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 to 10 tells us that, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which is proper for women professing godliness, with good works. And also, if Jesus makes you whole, that means that you must follow the book of Psalms, chapter 101, verse 3, which says, I will set before my eyes no vile thing. And that means that if Jesus makes you whole, you can no longer watch those worldly movies and television programs. For it is impossible to behold those wicked programs and still have the pure mind of Christ. You see, friends, if Jesus makes us whole, we must let self die and take up our cross and follow God. But you know what, friends? It's true that if you keep the seventh-day Sabbath, you may never get that promotion. In fact, you might lose your job. The Bible even tells us that even if you are rich in the world's goods right now, one day, if you keep the seventh-day Sabbath, you will not be able to buy or sell. So even if you are a millionaire, one day, if you keep the Sabbath, you will not even be able to buy something at the 99-cent store. But although you may be poor in the goods of this world, one day you can have the riches and treasures of heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupts, and where thieves cannot break in and steal. And friends, it's true. If Jesus makes you whole, you can no longer eat pork and shrimp. But one day you can eat from the tree of life. And it's true. If Jesus makes you whole, while you are on outreach, some people, they might curse you. They might turn you down because you're trying to share Jesus with them. But one day, you will hear the words from God himself saying, well done, good and faithful servant. And friends, it's true. If Jesus makes you whole, you will have to let go of the prideful and immodest fashions of this world. Brothers and sisters in Christ, hear me. Why wear the fashions of Babylon when you can be clothed in the righteousness of Christ? And friends, it's true. If Jesus makes you whole, you can no longer see those movies and worldly TV shows. But one day you can see something infinitely better. One day you can see Jesus face to face. Oh, friends, don't you want to be made whole? Isn't it your desire to be just like Jesus? A wonderful book called Steps to Christ, page 46, tells us, but what do we give up when we give it all? A sin-polluted heart for Jesus to purify, to cleanse by his own blood, and to save by his matchless love. And she says, and yet men think it hard to give up all. I am ashamed to hear it spoken of, ashamed to write it. She says, God does not require us to give up anything that is for our best interest to retain. In all that he does, he has the well-being of his children in view. She says, would that all who have not chosen Christ might realize that he has something vastly better to offer them than they are seeking for themselves. Friends, is there something, some cherished sin that Jesus wants to purify you of today? Jesus wants to make you whole, but do you want to be so? Is something holding you back? I ask you today, do you think it's too great a sacrifice to give everything to Jesus? If so, I point you to the Son of God. Look at what Jesus has given for you. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 6, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And often we focus on what we have to give up. We say, well, we need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. We need to put these things away. But let us not forget that Jesus literally hungered as he fasted for 40 days in the wilderness for us. And Jesus literally thirsted at the cross so that we may be made righteous by his sacrifice. Today you may feel broken under a bondage of sin, but never forget that Jesus was broken at the cross for you, so that you may be restored. Now the Bible tells us about this man in the book of John, chapter 5. It tells us something interesting. If you notice that Jesus was the one going after this individual. Now often many sick people, they came to Jesus, and then Jesus healed them. But here Jesus, he went directly after this individual. And another time, when Jesus crossed a lake and he met a man possessed with a legion of demons, Jesus was seeking after that individual, just as Jesus was looking for this individual. And here this individual was, 38 years, struggling with the same things. And friends, perhaps today we come to Christ, even though we take the name Seventh-day Adventist, perhaps we have been struggling for 38 years or more with the same sin. And perhaps today we just feel like we're too sinful to be forgiven. Perhaps we feel that our sin is too great and that perhaps we cannot overcome. Friends, have you ever felt like that? How you cannot keep your own promises to God? Perhaps you've answered an appeal before, but then you found that you cannot even keep your own word. Well, today I encourage you to turn from your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. And I'd like someone to read the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verses 11 to 12. Ezekiel 34, verses 11 to 12. All right, I'll read. Is anyone there? Ezekiel 34, verses 11 to 12.
I'm sorry, I was reading and I didn't realize I was muted.
Oh, you're muted. All right.
Ezekiel 34, 11 and 12 reads, "For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. 12. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and the dark day."
Now, these words are prophetic, aren't they? They're written in the book of Ezekiel, but they're really talking about Jesus. But these words, they're not just talking about the world. It's talking about Jesus seeking after you, right? And so we have this prophetic word confirmed, which we do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place. And you know what, friends? When Satan puts us down and says that we are too sinful or that we cannot obtain the mind of Christ, he does have some weight in his arguments, because the Bible tells us that it is true. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But Jesus says in John chapter 10, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd, he gives his life for the sheep." And so, friends, this verse in Ezekiel 34, it tells us that Jesus is seeking after us. And just like that broken man at the pool, today Jesus wants to restore us and make us well. And although we come to Jesus sinful, wicked, and broken, and although we deserve absolutely nothing from God, God gave absolutely everything for us. Jesus Christ gave himself. What more could he give? Today the Lord himself declares to you in the book of Isaiah 44, "I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgression, and like the cloud your sin. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." God is asking us today to have his character, to have the mind of Christ. He is asking you to give up the things of this world for something infinitely better, the glories of heaven. You know, friends, often we hear appeals, and often we make promises to God, but even sometimes, have you ever made a promise to God saying, "Lord, I promise I won't do this sin again. I promise I'll read my Bible for 1 to 2 hours every day." Have you ever made a promise to God, but then have you ever broken that promise, friends? No, the Bible, actually, the book Steps to Christ tells us that often we can become discouraged because our promises are like ropes of a sand. But today, God is not asking us to trust in our own promises, but rather he is asking us to start trusting in his promises. You know, we have broken many promises to God in the past, but God never breaks his promises. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Numbers that God is not a man that he should lie, nor son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Has he spoken, and will he not make it good? So today, Jesus is asking us, do you want to be made whole? Jesus told that man at that pool to rise, take up his mat, and walk. And today, we too can be like that man. We can be healed. We can be transformed. And so today's appeal is for us to say, "Lord, I want to be made whole. And today, I do not trust in my own strength, which is like a rope of sand. But today, Lord, I trust in your promises, which are always sure." Today, our loving Heavenly Father says, "I gave you my only begotten Son. Do not doubt that I will give you victory over sin." Friend, do you want to be made whole? Completely whole, just like Jesus? If so, I encourage you to bow your head as we close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to be holy like you, Lord. Father, you have commanded us to have the mind of Christ, but Lord, you have asked us to give up the sinful things of this world for something infinitely better, eternity with you, Lord. a place where there is no more pain or suffering or crying or death. And Lord, today we want to see your glory. We want to see the revelation of your glory, of your righteous character revealed in our lives, Lord. We want to be pure. We want to be just like you, Lord. Please, Father, may we just take you at your word. Lord, you have said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Lord, may you increase our faith. May we trust that you will make us exactly like Jesus. That, Lord, we can have victory over all temptation, Lord, through you and through your promises. We humbly ask for your Holy Spirit to transform our lives more and more each day. Help us to be like you so that we can see your glory in the clouds as you return. We thank you, Lord, for your precious promises which cannot fail. We thank you for loving us so much. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, all the folks, for that wonderful message that you've given to us this evening. And, you know, as you were thinking, as you were speaking, I was thinking about just how much the Lord, you know, loves us. You know, here we are, you know, these children, and, you know, we want to, you know, do what the Lord wants us to do, but, you know, we are just kind of all off of course and just not listening and, you know, complaining about little things and all what the Lord has given up, he gave his son, you know, and he's just seeking us, looking for us, you know, and loving us so much, you know, and just wanting to put us together like how we should be so he can save us and take us home. And it's just amazing, you know, you sit and you contemplate, you know, his love. It's just amazing. Thank you so much. We're going to open up for question and answers now, or comments. If you'd like to make a comment or ask a question, just star 6 your line.
Good evening, everyone. This is Valerie and William. I first like to say thank you for your prayers. Prayers really work. And I would like to comment on the message tonight. I would like to thank you for that message. I'm so glad that you allow God to speak through you. One thing I like about the message is the continual encouragement to strive to be like Jesus. It seems that so many preachers, they give up on the narrow message, the narrow way, and they just flock like birds of a feather in a wide way wherever it's easy. But I like the straight, narrow way message. I don't mind the rough side of the mountain if that's what it takes to get to God. And I want to thank you for the message to strive to be like Jesus and to put on his righteousness and to keep our promises. I know I've made promises to God, and I feel real bad about them because I've broken them before. But I am striving to be more like him and to put on his righteousness. And I want to thank you for the encouragement in the scriptures.
Praise God. Amen. God is good. No, I think we've all had a time where we've been faced where we've broken a promise with God. And like Peter, you know, I've been studying the life of Peter recently and how he said, I will never deny you, Lord. And then three times he denied the Lord. But then after that, God restored him and used him at Pentecost. And even before Pentecost, Peter wrote up in the book of Acts and encouraged the brethren. And so it's so encouraging that even though we have been broken in the past, that Jesus will restore us and continue
Thank
to
you.
Use us. He'll continue to seek us. And so we must
yes.
not lose hope because he loves us so much. Thank you for that point.
Amen.
Happy Sabbath, Marcia. Happy Sabbath, brother folks.
Happy
Sabbath, Millie.
This is Millie from Burbank, and I'd like to firstly say I'm so glad to hear Valerie back on the line. Nice to hear your voice, Valerie. Pastor folks, you know, when you participate in what you have us do, it really helps. Of course, I'm participating and forgetting to write all my texts, so my question is, what was that text in Titus 2? And please explain it, because I read it before and I like it. But I want you to go ahead and give me some info.
Okay, did you say Titus chapter 2?
Yeah, that's the one I thought you mentioned. Or was it Timothy? I thought it was Titus. It was about the adornment.
Oh, okay, yes.
Is that Titus 2?
No, that's actually in the book of 2 Timothy.
Second Timothy.
I'm sorry. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God's favor. It's 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I got my Timothy's mixed up. And that would be... Let me go to my Bible just to make sure I'm drawing a blank here.
I can look that up. I can hear back, do the playback. It was beautiful, and I think it had to do with adornment.
It did.
Yes.
I know it's my memory, but I'm losing my numbers here. But it says, in like manner also, the woman adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation.
Remember the text totally? 1 Timothy 2 what?
Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. Thank you.
Okay.
I have the text. It was by memory, but I don't know. I forgot the number for some reason. Sorry
That's
about that.
Okay.
So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 to 10.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Marcia?
Yes, Millie?
While I'm on the line, could I give you a message from Joanne? She's at the meeting for Pastor Lemon. This evening, but she wants us to pray for Brother Elder Folks' wife. I don't know your wife's name, so I can't say her name. So please remember her in the United Prayer. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. I actually wasn't sure if I was going to speak today because my wife and I were in the hospital yesterday because we're expecting our second little one.
Mm-hmm.
But she is going through complications.
Okay.
Early for her to deliver. So please keep her in your prayers. Thank you.
We will do that. Are there any more comments or questions? You know, sometimes, you know, I was thinking also, you know, the Lord is constantly wooing us to Him and wanting to fix everything that's broken in us. And I was thinking, you know, like sometimes, because it came to mind my cousin who became a Christian. It was a total shock to me. But sometimes we look at people or we don't know what's going on with them, and that's the great point about God, that He knows our heart. You know, that, you know, when we stumble or when we fall or we don't look so great to other people, He knows what we want. He knows the intentions of our hearts. And He wants, you know, us to be more than what we want to be ourselves sometimes, you know. And I was just thinking about that. So if I think I don't know where it is in this. I think in the spirit of prophecy, it says that, you know, there's going to be surprises, you know, in heaven. People we expect to be there will not be there, and people we don't expect to be there will be there. And that's, you know, what makes God so great, you know, just thinking. When you were talking about his character, and it's just like, to me, having someone that totally, totally understands you.
Mm-hmm.
When nobody else gets you, God does.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a, just an amazing and absolutely awesome thing.
Mm-hmm.
But and, we're going to go into our united prayer, and elder folks, I don't know if you can stay with us or if you have other obligations and you need to leave. If you,
I can stay.
Okay, and close out with our united prayer.
Of course.
Okay, we're going to ask that we keep our prayer short, and to remember Valerie and elder folks' wife. Could you tell us her name?
Yes, Eva.
Eva?
Yes.
Okay, Eva and their unborn child. And was it the, I don't know if anyone remembers the lady that had the request for that was under the stressful situation? Was it Gert? Was that her name?
There was Gertrude.
Gertrude, okay, Gertrude, something like that. Do you remember her
having a lot of problems at her work with the supervisor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Gertrude. To remember Gertrude also,
and
just
Elizabeth.
And Elizabeth. And let's just remember the prayer line in general, the prayer line itself, because, you know, the enemy would like to destroy this prayer line. And we've seen where he's attacked it, you know, by attacking individuals on the prayer line. So just pray for the prayer line in general, that the Lord will keep us strong as a family, and that whatever the enemy tries to bring up against it, that we will remain strong. Okay. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege to be able to come before thy throne of grace. We thank you for your mercy and goodness. We ask that you will wash us and cleanse us and purify our hearts and minds. And we thank you for the wonderful message that you gave of love tonight, of your love and your mercy toward us. And without you, Lord, there would be nothing for us. And we have some of our family from the prayer line that we bring before thee. We bring before thee Eva and her unborn child. Lord, you know the situation. And we ask that you will be merciful to this family and let your holy angels come and abide near her. Lord, you're able to do all things, so we ask that you will bless in this situation. To remember Valerie also, Gertrude, and Elizabeth. And Father, this prayer line in general, there are many things that are going on with each one of us on this prayer line. And Lord, you know them all. We ask that you will draw near each situation. Send a triple portion of your holy angels to those that are in need. And Father, bless and let your spirit comfort and abide with everyone this evening. Let them receive a Sabbath day blessing and be a Sabbath day blessing. We thank you, Father, for hearing this prayer, and we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shed his blood abundantly for us. Amen.
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 Father in heaven, thank you so much for this particular day, this particular time. I thank you so much, Lord, for this particular day in my life. Lord, you know that it has been particularly different and special, and I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that the message this evening just kind of put the cap on today in terms of what you had for me and what you want for me. And Lord, I thank you that in my brokenness, you have been seeking me, and no matter how I've attempted to hide, not even realizing maybe that I was hiding, that you were yet looking for me, and that you would do that even if I was only one, you would look for me. Thank you for the scriptures that were shared this evening that reaffirmed that, and that I can be whole in you. And Lord, I remember a time when it seemed I was more whole, if there's such a thing. But Lord, I thank you for the comments of the moderator who said that she was grateful that as God, you get us when others don't get us. And Lord, I thank you that you understand me or us when we don't even understand ourselves, and that that is not a requirement for your grace or your mercy. I thank you that in terms of your glory, that it is about your character, and that as the pastor spoke this evening and shared and had us read, that you, your mercy and your grace comes first, Lord. Thank you for that. We know that you're just, but thank you for your long-suffering and your mercifulness and your graciousness. I thank you for the speaker. I thank you for his family. I thank you for his wife, and Lord, we know that his wife is struggling right now with their child, who is also your child. And whatever it is, Lord, we accept by faith that that situation is already worked out, and it's a matter of timing. And we claim that. Lift up the Father, Lord, right now, who is ministering to us while you are ministering to them. Give him strength and courage. And Lord, we pray for everyone who is on the prayer line, as was mentioned, that every heart will be touched and refreshed and recommitted to you by faith in your power. Lord, I personally want to thank you for Valerie, for just bringing her back of such a joy. Put a smile on my face to hear her voice this evening. I thank you for your healing mercies in her life and for the joy that she brings just in being who she is. And Lord, may all of us remember that you've given us talents and gifts that can be a blessing to others if we'll just step out of the way and let those blessings flow. Be with our friends list, the prodigals list, and the individuals' names who were spoken a little bit earlier. We thank you for being present in those situations. And Lord, there's a lady who often prays about, I don't know who it is exactly, but who needs, there's a friend of hers that needs a phone, needs passport. There's a sister, she herself, who needs a renter. She needs a buyer for her home so that she can go back into the mission field. And Lord, I just want to lift her up to you right now, because that prayer stays on my heart too. Please, Lord, if there's something that we can do as a team, as a prayer line, as a family, as it was said, that can help in that situation, please move us so that we can know that. If there's something I can do that I'm not aware of, please bring it to me. We thank you, Lord, for this Sabbath. I thank you especially for this day and for saving my life for this moment. Thank you for giving me courage to look ahead and to see another day. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
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 Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this evening, Father. While I was away, Father, I heard that Gwen was back. I want to thank you, Father. Thank you so much. Prayer does work, and it's so powerful. You brought us back our director. We can hear her now, even though I haven't heard her tonight. But I want to thank you for the good news that she's back. And, Father, I want to thank you for all the prayer partners, Father, that lifted all of us up in prayer, because I'm here, and I was so afraid that I wouldn't make it through the night. Father, the enemy continues to come against me every time I get ready to get a job. This has happened for a year and a half now without fail. On the day that I'm supposed to get a job, I get sick very bad or hurt very bad, or the car go down very, it's something. And I know it's just the devil that does not want us to prosper. But, Father, I thank you because I'm still here. Lord, I was so afraid. I thought that when the blood clot grew 2 inches, it was going to grow towards my heart, but it didn't. It went towards my hand. And I'm thankful to you, Father, that I got it checked out and it's superficial. It's not deep enough right now to cause a scare. And so thank you so much. And I know Satan wants to take me out of here. And I know he wants to take Gwen out of here. And I know he wants to take every last one of your children out of here, so it won't be left anyone of the 144,000 now or later. And he's our greatest enemy, and Lord. And I just want to lift up all of us. And, Father, I ask that you send mighty angels rounding about us and increase their strength. Increase their strength to fight for us, Father, and to deliver us out of Satan's web, Father. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And you also allow Satan to do things to draw us closer to you. And I know that I need to draw closer to you. I know that I need every once in a while to be jarred or scared so that I run into your arms when I get too far away. I thank you, Father, for the things that you allow to happen in our lives. And then I thank you for your mercy that you show in each one of us. Thank you so much. Father, I also want to lift up Pastor Folks and his wife. She's pregnant and she's about to have a little one. But Lord, just like the devil came against me and Gwen and all the rest of us, he's also trying to come against her and the little baby. Father, I want to pray for the baby, Father, and the mother, and the husband. Lord, I pray rich blessings on their life and all their righteous endeavors. I pray special blessings, Father, on the little baby, that everything will be all right, Father. I pray that the delivery be light and easy and quick, Father, so that she don't have much trauma, and both of them have come out of this just like flying colors. That's what I pray, Father. Many blessings on their lives. I thank you, Father, for the message, again, that Pastor Folks delivered. Lord, I thank you for Joyce and Millie and Marcia and the lady that just prayed for me. I don't even know her name, but I pray for all the new people that's come on the line and that we're starting to hear. I pray, Father, that the line, the prayer line is starting to grow. I pray for our prodigals list, Father, that you're still answering prayers. Thank you so much, Father. And I pray for our friends. I pray for reformation and revival in each one of our lives. Dear Heavenly Father, times are getting worse and worse. We need you so desperately and more desperately than we realize. Father, please help us. Help us with revival and reformation. Please, Father, touch our hearts, quicken us, break us, mold us, and shape us into your image. Father, we need you so much. We need you right now, Father. Empty into our vessels, Father, the Holy Spirit, and draw us closer to the cross, Lord. Shape us and mold us into your image, and let us look like you. Let us run after you. Let us seek to follow your guidance. Shed light on our path. Father, we need you so much. If I would have died in my sleep, Father, I cannot truthfully say I was ready to meet my maker. No, Father, I wasn't. Please help me, Father, and don't let me go until I'm ready. Father, I pray this for each one of us. Father, save us, whatever it takes. Don't let us go, Father, until we're ready. We're willing to follow you, Father, and we need you so much. I don't want to go right now. I am undone, Father. You are not through with me yet, are you, Lord? Please don't be through with me now. I'm so undone, and I pray this prayer for all of us. Please hear our prayer. We need you, Lord. Please save us. And this is my prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that we can always see you in prayer, but Lord, we also praise you because you first seek us. And Lord, you have heard our petition. And Lord, I just praise you for just the prayers that have just uplifted my wife, Lord. It just means, it gives me peace, Lord, to know that you are in control. And Father, I just thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for this prayer line. Lord, I thank you for just the hearers, the people that come on every night after night, the same voices, Lord, that although we might not even see each other here, Lord, that Father, Lord willing, we will see each other in heaven. And Father, I just thank you for the moderators, for the other speakers, Lord, that have given their time to uplift us as well, Lord. Father, I pray for Gwen, the directors. Lord, I pray for everyone who is involved and everyone who is listening, Lord. As you heard, Father, Satan is trying to attack each and every one of us. But Lord, you are much stronger. And Father, we thank you for the victories that will be won in our lives, Lord. That you will not let us go, Father, for you love us so much. That even, Lord, when we stop seeking you, that you continue to seek us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being so long-suffering with us. Thank you, Lord, for your tremendous patience in our lives, Lord. But Father, even when we lose hope, you do not lose hope in us. And Lord, we thank you for waking us up and bringing us back on that narrow path, Lord. Help us to walk one step at a time with you, Lord. Please, Father, may we only see Jesus. May we not look to any man. Lord, may we only look to you. Please, Father, help us to be just like you. And character. Lord, we want to be that final generation. Lord, we don't want to be on this planet much longer. Father, please may your will be done. We know this is your will to purify us. So, Father, may your will be done in each of our lives. Bless us this Sabbath and be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, elder folks. Again, for that message, and may everyone have a blessed and peaceful and restful Sabbath evening. On Sunday, our speaker will be Dr. Weeks. And for anyone that would like to hear this message again, 712-432-1085. 6242-55#. Again, it's 712-432-1085, 6242-55, and the pound key, same PIN number. And also, I know we had prayer, for Gloria earlier, but let's continue to lift up Gloria in prayer. She's going through something very serious, and
and
I guess
Baptiste
in more.
Felt better.
Hmm.
And Brother Baptiste said, "Can't come on," and he's felt better.
Yes. He. We mentioned that in the beginning.
Okay.
That.
Sorry.
Yeah. That.
Marcia, could you do me a favor and find out who's that kind lady? That one who prays and melts our hearts. I would just like to know her name as a family of prayer.
Okay.
I think it would have been Belinda. I'm not sure.
Hello?
Belinda.
Mm.
Yeah.
Marcia?
Yes.
Oh. It's
it
Belinda.
Is, it is Belinda.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
Belinda.
Thank you so much for that prayer. You just moved my heart so well. God bless you.
Well, you have done the same for me many a time. And I don't always say much, but I feel a lot. And in these past 3 or 4 weeks since I've been a part of these prayer lines, this prayer line, I try to, the Lord has made, allowed so many things to happen. Some of my clients don't come on time, and so I'm able to get on, or somebody doesn't come at all, and I'm able to get on to hear you all. Or, and I can't even tell you the things that have happened to me, but I can tell you this, that my life has turned upside down since I've been involved with this prayer line. And I just want to say thank you, because I know, as Valerie said, Lord, please don't come. I'm so undone. And today he really let me know how undone I was. But I know that it was through the power of the prayer line and the speakers morning and evening that there was just no way out of seeking him or seeing him face to face. So thank you. Thank you. The gift is mine, too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
God bless you also, Melinda.
Thank you.
And welcome to the prayer line.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marcia, for the time.
Yes. What I wanted to share about Gloria, because it just touched my heart so, you know, she's going through what she's going through. And she shared with me, it's the same thing that her mother died from.
Oh, no.
And so, just keep her in your prayers. So,
Melinda,
and continue
pray
to
for her now. I can't pray right now. But if you would just pray for Gloria.
Is that okay? Can I pray again? Gracious Father in heaven, right now we just lay a petition out for Gloria right now, right here, right now, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you said we're two or more, and there certainly are more than two of us gathered together in your name, that you're with us, and we know that you are with us right now. And we know that this situation that Gloria is in did not take you by surprise. And, Lord, we accept by faith that whatever the situation is, that you are there, Lord, and that the Holy Spirit is there. And, Lord, you know what is going on with her, perhaps echoes fears that many of us may have in terms of our families or our predispositions. And, Lord, you know I have fears similarly as I approach the age at which my mother passed, and I find myself getting more anxious. But, Lord, that doesn't have anything to do with your plan for my life or for Gloria's life. Your plan for her life is your plan for her life. And, Lord, I just ask that you will just keep that clear in her mind and her heart and her soul and spirit, that she need not connect the two, even though she probably does all the time. That you knit a plan together for her while she was in her mother's womb, separate from the way that her mother lived and died. And that if the task is over and the time is done, it's because her time is done, not just because it was the same thing her mother had. And help her to just feel comfort in knowing that you are still with her and that you still will show her whatever it is she needs to know, whatever she needs to do, whatever gift she still has to share, and, Lord, for whatever blessing she has yet to bring. And, Lord, I have a selfish request, because I have held out on sending any of my requests for any of the CDs, and I think they're supposed to go to Gloria. So, Lord, lift her up. Lift her up. And instead of me putting requests for CDs, now let me call and give her praise and, encouragement. Maybe that's what it was about. Help me to do my part, Lord Jesus. Thank you for hearing our prayer for her. Help her not to be afraid. Help her not to be afraid. In Jesus' name, thank you so much for already going and just comforting her.
and help us to know that in her victory is our victory, as is her pain, our pain. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, please be with Gloria, Father. Wherever she is and whatever she's doing, let your peace just come upon her, Father. Just put her at ease about everything and let her feel your love wrapped around her, Father, and let her meditate on your promises, Father. I thank you, dear Heavenly Father, and I want to lift her up high. But, Father, earlier I also prayed, and I forgot to add Brother, I think it was Baptiste, who also had to go into the hospital. Hope I'm saying the name right. Father, please, I want to lift him up also. They're both very dear to our hearts, Father, and they need you right now, Father. I'm so glad that Millie brought it up again to pray for Gloria, Father, with tears, because I didn't know she was ill either. I didn't know anyone else was ill. And I just want to thank you for the praises, Father, that you're your own time God, Father, and you love us so much. You're right here, right now, God. I thank you, Father. As the lady prayed earlier, where two or three gather together, Lord, it's more than two or three right now. I thank you, Jesus, for being in the midst of us. And thank you, Father. Thank you, Marcia, for another opportunity to pray for us,
yes,
for our Father. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
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 Well, I'd like to thank everyone for taking time out of their evening to come and fellowship with each other and in the presence of the Lord. May you have a blessed and peaceful sleep this evening. Good night.
Well. Good night.
Thank you, Marcia.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
God bless everyone.
Good night.